You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on The Cool Against, will Mbappe ever get to play with Messi? Who knows? Is Cristiano Ronaldo going to go to PSG? Nothing makes sense in Europe right now. Also, Carly Lloyd announces her retirement. We show some love and respect to one of the GOATs in American soccer.
That's right. Plus, we talk to Jess Matana. You know her from the Dan Le Batard show. You also know her from our show. We talk about cafecitos. We meet Charlie the crack pipe. And we also talk about what it's like being in Miami. That and more today on The Cool Against.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby!
Yes!
Come on!
Well, hello, welcome. How are you doing, girl?
Yo, what's good?
You know, we're just gonna make this a nice, fun, light chat. You know, it's just a little look. Just watch us catch up. You know,
it's the view. That's what you turn into, right?
Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero-Rose.
Right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
It's also the... Yeah, I was just waiting for them to say it themselves. Thank you. When I say we're the, you say go.
Little call and response. Okay. Yeah.
You already know what it is. How have you been, Christian?
I've been well, okay? Like some Arsenal players, I am unwell.
Okay. Already? Already we're going to roast? I feel like my team roasted themselves, Christian. Don't do this to me.
No, we have an exciting show today, Alexis, because we're going to be joined by one of the co-hosts of the Le Batard show, Lebatard and Friends, own Jessica Smetana coming through. We're going to be talking about a lot of everything going on in Miami right now, okay?
You sound like we're gonna break down the news in Miami. What is happening? What Cuban person is disrespecting another Cuban person?
Really? Yeah, we gotta sort out the local politics of Miami.
That's right. Because what's my tia doing down there? Tell me, Jess.
Jess is on the ground to let us know what Alexis's tia is doing.
She's like, they're using a lot of hands to speak. I think they're trying to land an airplane.
a lot to cover today in American soccer. In European football, let's start with a couple weeks ago we were talking about all Messi and all the news, him going to PSG, the collapse of Barcelona, the country, not just the team. Okay,
The GDP has dropped because
this is
Messi
not
left.
A good move.
Did you see that? Michael Jordan made 6 million euros off of Messi being on PSG. Did you see that?
He made 6 million euros just for him signing there, or like jersey sales?
Because of the
like
shirt
that?
Sales.
Okay.
It's Jordan brand.
Right, I understand that. So, but you just said he just made 6 million, like he's Messi's agent, you know?
No, he calls up Messi, he's like, you're moving to where? Didn't I destroy that city when we played there?
Look, you're going to play for the Chicago Bulls. We're going to make it work, all right?
Somehow. Use your feet. We'll figure it out. We'll change the rules. I'm Jordan. Yeah, he made 6 million euros. That's how much money has been made. I think it was 130,000 shirt sales, like in the first day of Messi being there. So it's big news. But the thing we were looking forward to is the fact that it's going to be, the front four is going to be Messi, Mbappe, Neymar, possibly Di Maria. It looks like one of those might be leaving. And those of you who got your fingers crossed saying, please be Di Maria, are not getting your wish. It might be...
Because it might looks be like Mbappe might be, left out of this this exciting time.
Left out. He might be peacing out. He might be the one. Supposedly, he wants to get out. In fact, I don't know if you saw, like, there's a picture of him and Messi, and they're both smiling and talking, but there's a coldness to it, you know? There's an uncomfortability there.
Yeah,
and he just put...
It, it, It's like I ain't gonna learn Spanish for you, and the other guy's like, I ain't gonna learn French for you. All right,
he's like, I heard we're gonna play with only one ball. I don't know how that's gonna work out, Chief. You know, it's like oil and water. These two apparently, they don't get along, or I guess Mbappe isn't happy with him being there. But
how is it possible that Messi and Mbappe may not get along, but Messi and Sergio Ramos are homies, dapping up, literally.
Bro, I think you solved it. Mbappe never two-foot Messi, and I think you solved it. You got to clatter into him.
Two-footing Messi is his love language, yeah, okay? That's how he connects.
Like, you know, with me, like, if you don't roast me, I'm like, oh, we ain't friends. You feel me? That's how Messi is. He's like, I don't have one boot mark on the bottom of my ankle
So because of Mbappe's, he doesn't want to renew his contract at PSG. They don't want to lose him for free. So,
but he tried to cool those rumors by putting up that photo and saying, "Can't wait to play with you." But the way he wrote it, the photo itself, that made everyone go like, oh, he's definitely leaving.
Okay, this is about to end in divorce. We all know. But because of Mbappe's rumored leaving.
Going to Real Madrid.
Possibly going to Real Madrid. There's a spot open, essentially. And now, because PSG is the most popular club on earth, the other rumor is that Cristiano Ronaldo could possibly move to PSG, create this wild super. Again, we were talking about this before. Like, there's no Super League, but this is the next option.
The Monstars are getting stronger. although I don't know that he makes them stronger. And also, he put out I don't want to say cryptic, because it didn't have like anything explicitly said in it, but it said a lot. Ronaldo put up a thing saying like, you know what, enough with the transfer rumors, you know, the chapter with Real Madrid, because there were rumors that he'd go back to Real Madrid.
Right.
That chapter's done in my life. That's happened. Basically saying like, yo, quit talking about me moving. I want to stay in Juventus. But he didn't specifically say that. Here's my theory. Everyone says like, you'd want to see these two play together at some point in this generation. And I think that's where we're lucky that we have like all-star games here in the U.S., where we get to see like two great players that normally would never be able to play on the same team. We get to see them play together. But I don't think he would make that move because, one, he's a lot older. Messi's still a bit more in his prime. And I think it'll answer the question as to who's better, because I think Messi's going to show him up. You know what I mean? You don't want to be on the same team with having the other person be better than you.
I mean, you just mentioned having one ball. And if it's one ball between Ronaldo, Neymar, and Messi, bro, there's going to be zero assists in this game.
No one's ever going to do a dummy in this. Everyone's going to be like, give me the ball. It's going to be too much. I don't think at this age, maybe 2-3 years ago, like when Ronaldo made the move to Juventus, I could have seen somehow it working out where they play together. I think he probably still would have, but I think he's so egotistical, so narcissistic, that he's like, if I go there and Messi has more goals than me, it's going to be horrific. That dressing room alone.
Yeah, yeah. Look, the best move for him, stay in Serie A, especially since Lukaku left. Inter's is a weaker team. Juve struggled to make it to Champions League. They have a better chance now of winning the Scudetto this time around, because last year was a weird year for a lot of teams, and it was difficult to adjust. But him going to PSG would be just bonkers, just pointless. It'd just be unnecessary and an exorbitant amount of wealth and really just making fun of us poor people. You know what I mean?
For everyone making fun of PSG and saying, oh, they're this, that. All these players they signed were basically free. You know what I mean? Messi was free. People forget that. They didn't buy Messi. Messi was free. I mean, they're paying him a ton of money, but he was free. Getting Ronaldo at that point is just like, how many cherries you want on this Sunday, my guy? I feel like it's a lot of maraschino on top of your...
this roster is fattening. Tone it down.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Premier League. I'm sure you saw this weekend Arsenal won 17-0. It was pretty incredible.
Interesting.
Did anyone else see that? Because that's what I saw.
Is that the Arsenal multiverse? What reality was that?
You know what? I shut off my internet. No one tell me what happened. I refuse to find out. No, let's talk a little bit about Harry Kane, because he did show up to Tottenham. He's been, what, extending his vacation, apparently. And apparently it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all.
Some people are taking that Euros loss a little harder than others, okay? Really have not recovered.
Well, you know what he's doing? He's going to every country, right, that played in the Euros. So he's going to be gone for a while, you guys. He's going, he's visiting, he's paying homage. He's trying to right that wrong, you know? But apparently it didn't matter. Look, they beat City. And I think Tottenham have beaten Manchester City, I think, four times. Or the Pep Guardiola Manchester City four times without Harry Kane. Like, such a weird stat. But
yeah,
I don't want to say they didn't look like they missed the beat. They certainly look like they were up for it a bit more than City. But you want Harry Kane. He's a pretty good striker. I've heard a few good things about him, you know? You want him. So the rumor was that he was going to travel with the team to go play the Portuguese team that they're playing in the Europa Conference, Paços de Ferreira. Everyone, right? Everyone's heard of them. World beaters.
My favorite club. Yeah.
I did not say Tacos de Ferreira. That is Paços de Ferreira. But he didn't go. He didn't travel. And there's rumors that he might be getting sold to City. There's rumors that, I mean, he's come out and basically he gave that like weird Instagram post where he was like, I've been here my whole life and I love you guys, but none of it said I ain't leaving, you know,
really just a doth protest too much, a little, you know, a bit of that. The last headline I saw was essentially that City was going to offer 125 million pounds for him, and Tottenham and Daniel Levy of Tottenham refuses to accept this.
He has a long contract. We've talked about this before. They right. don't have to sell him, right? You could keep him for the next few years, but do you really want someone that doesn't want to be there? And also, if you get 107 million, buddy, sell. What are you doing? Tottenham is like that house that has like the skyscraper built around it, you know? Like they refuse to sell. And now your backyard is an air conditioning unit for a 74-story building.
Yeah, the biggest problem you can have in soccer is having a player who does not want to play, right? Or is disgruntled. It's other sports a little bit. In baseball, if you're a disgruntled player, what are you gonna not swing at the ball? Like you can't.
Because it ruins your value. It ruins your value if you don't play those sports. For some reason in soccer, can't. Go vacationing. Who cares? You're still 130 million to us.
It's just such a different skill set, and the negotiating is just so different. But it affects so many other parts of the team if you have even just one player that is not really excited to be there, right? So you gotta say with this, the way this is being handled, we're leaning more towards, I can't imagine Harry Kane coming back, the fans loving that he's there, and everybody like the fact that this is a poor of a situation Tottenham are in, that you know that Tottenham fans are struggling, just they want some success, that they would gladly take this man who's disrespected the team.
They're simping. They're simping for
They're
Harry
simping.
Kane.
Is it for Harry Kane?
And
yeah.
Also, low-key, everyone talks about how great of a guy Heung-min Son is. You saw the pros game conference. They were asking him about Harry Kane not being there, and he was like, he kind of had like a cheeky smile, but he was like, hey, man, we're a team, and, you know, we would love to have all great players back. I think low-key, he wants him to leave because I think he wants this to be his team. I think he's clearly good enough. I think he wants to be the superstar. He's never going to come out and say it because he's like the good guy, you know?
Yeah.
And he's a good boy. And look at him. He's like a, an Eagle Scout out there. But nah, low key, I think he wants to be that star.
That would be kind of cool. You know, we're not used to seeing, especially players come out of Asia, play in Europe, play in the, and just be the like vocal and kind of arrogant leader. I would love that version of Heung-min Son. I mean, he does that on the pitch. The way he plays, the way he scores, the goal he scored, he scored the lone goal to
which
to
was
beat
an
Manchester
incredible
City.
Goal.
And I love he does his celebrations are a little bit like, you know, he does one of these this is all mine. I built this stadium.
Yeah,
you know?
So your son just did that to you. You know what I mean? I think he wants. He's cocksure. You know what I mean?
Okay, so look, so let's talk about the other, you know, the red side of North London.
Right, we had a preseason match last week. Don't worry, season starts for us this week.
We'll get them, boys. Yeah. Okay, you know, it's just the warm up game was a little rough, but we'll figure it out.
Well, again, we're generous. We allowed Brentford to win. It's their first match in the Premier League, but it's cool because we got Martin Odegaard coming for the next match. Look out, Chelsea. Yeah.
This is the big news. Just a few minutes before we're taping this, Martin Odegaard, who was on loan last season, will be playing for Arsenal as a permanent player. He'll be branded with the Gunner. You know how
it's messed up.
Once a Gooner, always a Gooner. You've heard it before.
Yeah, I hate the fact that we brand our players, but look, rules are, you know, tradition is tradition.
But what do you think? Is this going to change Arsenal's future, especially for this season?
So look, the one thing here's, you signed Martin Odegaard. Now go out and sign someone for him to pass the ball to. Because if Aubameyang and Lacazette, there's rumors that unwell means they were unhappy and had a bit of a argument with Arteta. And then there's some people saying that they have COVID, but nobody wants to say it because it was like a mini COVID outbreak in the Arsenal training. Whichever the case, if it's COVID, please recover quickly.
Little
baby COVID, just a sweet little COVID, COVID 8 to 9 as opposed to 19. Oh, he's a kid. If that's true, then please recover. If it's that they don't want to play and they have a bad attitude, then get them off the team. We have to find someone else to pass the ball to score, and that's the one thing we don't have. But creativity in the midfield is great because if Granit Xhaka is your most creative midfielder, bruh, you done messed up.
All right, some big news in American soccer. The announcement of the retirement of Carly Lloyd. She will be done at the end of the NWSL season. She'll have a couple more U.S. Women's National Team matches as a send-off. And we'll talk a lot more about that with Jess Smetana in a little bit. So let's talk
coming
about...
Coming up, yeah, right out a little bit.
Yeah, so let's talk about some MLS stuff real quick. Portland against Seattle.
Went swimmingly, huh?
Yeah, right. They didn't gut the fish as much as the fish really thrived. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like the fish evaded being gutted here.
Seattle wins this game 6-2 at Providence Park. This was a shock, I think, for Timbers supporters, the staff. They've never one of the worst losses in Timbers history, just against any team. But
also the rivalry, and also the goals that were scored were mostly all golazos. I mean, there were two: the Rui Diaz goal and what was the name?
Jimmy Madronda.
The Madronda one. Oh my God. I mean, the power behind some of these shots. It's just, I mean, this is a rough way. It's rough to lose 6-2, but then when two out of those six goals were like, you know, top of Sports Center highlight level, you're like, no, because you're just going to keep seeing it over and over and over again.
If it's an MLS game and a rivalry game, and you make it to Sports Center, it's not good for you. Right? Yeah.
Somebody caught a body in order for that to happen.
But the Rui Diaz, we gotta really praise this man because he had the like half field goal against Austin FC a couple weeks ago when Seattle had just fielded I think 5 teenagers. This Rui Diaz has been I mean, he has to be up for MVP. He's been great as soon as he got to Seattle, but he is really showing, especially since Jordan Morris got hurt and didn't return to Seattle. He has been an absolute star player. That free kick was violent. Mm-hmm. That goal was where I was like, I had to clutch my pearls. I had to go out and buy pearls to clutch.
Pause the TV, get in the car, go buy pearls, come back, put it on, hit play, and then clutch them. I mean, when you look at what Rui Diaz has been able to do, like, you know, in basketball, they say like, yo, this dude is a bucket, right? Like he can score wherever he wants. I mean, I think Rui Diaz is the closest we have to that in MLS at this moment. It just seems like he has that knack for goal. Like, no matter what he wants to do, he'll find a way to score. And some of them are like, you know, poacher style goals. Some of them are soft passes into the back of the net. Some of them, he's like, I hate this net and I want to break it. You know, it's just, it's absolutely impressive. And I mean, you know, I don't know if you're Portland, changes got to be made. You know what I mean? Like, my first question was, how many teenagers did Portland start? Because 6-2 for your biggest rivalry, that's a tough way to go out.
Yeah, and you got to think about what happens to, you know, they got rid of Jeremy Bobasi. Like, Timbers have to make some moves.
Also, this was the retirement for our friend Rodney Wallace.
Rodney Wallace retires. No, come on.
Don't ever retire him again. It's his fault.
They got to sign him. They got to just give him. You're going to have to play another decade, Rodney. Sorry. Yeah,
my bad, homie. That one-day contract wasn't enough. We need you out there.
Okay, the other thing we had to mention is MLS All-Star. We are going to be in Los Angeles for
That's
MLS
right.
All-Star, and we have a really fun thing that we're going to be doing. We're going to be part of the live show, Mexican soccer show. We had Emilio Lopez on here a couple months ago. We had Wiso Vasquez on our Twitch show, and so we're going to join them as guests on the Mexican soccer show live. It's going to be in a place called La Chuperia in downtown.
You heard that right, folks. What happens there, bro?
Okay.
La Chuperia.
That's the slang. That's like the Mexican slang for drinking alcohol.
Oh, I know, but not for us.
Okay. All right. What have we gotten ourselves into?
What exactly is this live show? Is this in Tijuana or is this...
Why is this in the red light district?
Damn. Do we work there or are we just going to get to enjoy?
August 23rd, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Come through. It should be really fun. And you can get more details on follow Mex Soccer Show at Mex Soccer Show on Twitter for more details. So do that. Okay. On some other Los Angeles news, we wanted to take some time to really send out a lot of love, a big hug. Sebastian Legette was recently on our show, mm-hmm. and recently mentioned some news of the passing of his sister, Viviana
Legette. Yeah,
Legette. So, obviously a very difficult time for the Legette family. We just sending a lot of thoughts, prayers, a lot of love. So we just hope the whole family as well.
Yeah, condolences from all of us here at Cooligans and Fubo TV and Fubo Sports Network. Really sorry to hear the news. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I just want to bring it with a word from one of our sponsors, Justin. You being Gully Squad. Oh my God, Gully Squad is the absolute incredible. By the way, if you're not a member of Gully Squad, what are you waiting for? Just go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad and join. First of all, you get absolutely amazing access to us, Christian and I. We're always in there. This is the place we focus on. We text back the most. If you want to share a picture of your pizza and say, yo, Alexis, roast them. Nah, fam, join Gully Squad. That's where that happens, in the Rate My Pizza room in our Slack. It's absolutely incredible. We've got stuff from comedy, coffee, beer, wine, liquor, food stuff, general stuff. They're coming up with the Gulliest Kit. Inferior Sports, which is where we talk about everything else. We got an MLS Pick'em going on in there. Music, pets. It's such incredible stuff. And by the way, anytime we have a guest, what happens is we post that in Gully Squad. They find out about it first, and it's cool that they don't leak that information. They're awesome people. And we ask them if they have any questions for whether it's famous coaches or players or a journalist, whoever it is that we have as a guest on our show. And those are the only questions that we ask. So if you would love to ask some of these famous people some questions, anyone from Zach Steffen to Landon Donovan to Michelle Akers, you know, legend in the women's game, anyone like that, if you've always wanted to ask them a question, the only way you're going to get a chance to do that is if you are in Gully Squad. So again, go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad, or you could just go to shoutstous.com. Join now. All right, Christian, our guest is here, and I mean, let's roll out the red carpet here, huh?
Let's go. You know, I'm excited because we have both met our next guest in person, mm-hmm. but the first time and only time I met her was with a mask. So I've only seen the top of half of her face. So now...
What a big reveal, huh?
What an exciting time for us.
Well, I mean, you guys probably know her from all the different Dan Lebatard stuff, but we know her from Christian only seeing the top of her face. Ladies and gentlemen, really proud to have her on the show. The one and only, put your hands together for Jess Smetana, everybody!
Jess, what's up?
Was I supposed to clap? I clapped.
Yeah. No, you should clap for yourself. If you don't toot your own horn, you don't hear music. Come on now.
That is so true. And it is so great to see the bottom of both of your faces.
Yes, right? Mine is basically, with the beard, it basically looks like I'm wearing mostly a mask anyway. Why don't we start with where, you know, you being the sole female voice on these, on the overwhelmingly dude thing of, you know, Dan Levitard's show and everything that goes around it. Why don't you talk about how that happened?
Well, I was working at Sports Illustrated, worked there for the last 3 years, and then I got a call from the executive producer of the Levitard show and asked if I would be interested in joining, but with the asterisk being like, you have to move to Miami. And I think he knew what he was doing because he called me in February while I was in New York City. And so the thought of moving to Miami was like really, just sounded really, really nice. So things kind of got, like the ball got rolling from there. And then, yeah, I ended up moving down to Miami after living in New York City for the last 5 years. So it's been quite an adjustment because it is hot down here. And I know it's hot in New York. Alexis, you said it's like 90 degrees right now in New York, but like Miami is just, I can't go outside without just being like a sweat, like shower, like just showered in sweat, like sweat's just everywhere. It's dripping off my face. It's on my clothes. It's disgusting.
Yeah. Your body's adjusted for New York City. Now all of a sudden you got Miami weather.
Right. Yeah. And I had just seen, on social media, you have posted, you went to a Marlins game. And you were with our friend Jenny Chu as well. But apparently who was it that lost very, very badly?
It was the Cubs, my former MLB team, but the Marlins actually sent me this very nice gift basket. I got a Derek Jeter gift basket when I moved to Miami and they welcomed me into Marlins fandom. So I'm wearing my Marlins shirt right now.
Interesting.
A message to all of the sports teams out there, I'm very easily bought. If you want to give me a gift basket with jerseys and merch and bobbleheads, like I will root for your team and I'll post about how great the food is at your stadium. So yeah, very, very much a sellout there.
You probably had the easiest route to getting a Derek Jeter gift basket, by the way, historically, from if the reports are true.
He didn't just give them to influencers.
It depends, right?
This is the new Jeter, I guess. Yeah.
Let's talk about the pin that's on your shirt, though, because this is near and dear to my heart, and I got to find a way to get this. Is that the little cafecito you get with a colada?
It is. His name's Tito Cafecito, like Tito the Cafecito, I think. I found this in Wynwood this weekend. I think it's Miami Supply Company. I think it's their design, and it's like a little, like the little cups that you get with the Cafecito, and he's got a little like face and arms and feet. He's very cute, so I bought it. I had to buy it.
I've got it. That is the cutest, probably image of what should really be considered a drug. At this point, because I grew up drinking Cuban coffee. My grandfather used to give me Cuban coffee when I was like, you know, at 6 years old. And my mother's you really shouldn't be feeding this to him. And he's like, it's in our blood, you know? And I think it explains why I am the way I am today. Did you ever have cafecitos in New York, or is this a new thing since moving to Miami?
Well, the first time I had it was during Super Bowl, whatever it was, in Miami last year in 2020, Super Bowl LIV, I guess 44. Some Roman numeral guy will correct me on the internet for that. But yeah, that was the first time I tried them and I got hooked. And it's funny that you mentioned that, like, you were having them when you were 6 years old. Like, this is like a cute little cartoon cafecito guy. It's kind of like the equivalent of like if you had like a cigarette or something with like a cute face and you're marketing it to kids, because that's how addicting these things are. Like, I started drinking it the first time I came to Miami, and then I had, you know, two and then three and then four. And now every morning I come in to the Levitard show with Stu Gatz, and Dan brings in a little colada for everyone, and so we all share them in the producer's room and just down shots of it all day. So I'm like,
y'all are junkies.
Those
of you who don't know or have never had cafecito or a colada, imagine I sold a little pin of a cute cartoon called like Charlie the Crack Pipe. You know what I mean?
But it's like, it's too intense. I don't even like coffee, but like, I can imagine that you are obviously so wired. Like, I think, like, remember in Pulp Fiction when Uma Thurman got stabbed with the adrenaline shot? And that was cafecito. That's what woke her up. You know what I mean? from death.
Exactly. Yeah, it's crazy because you could just be dragging, like, we start pretty early on the show and we go for like 5 or 6 hours sometimes, like long recordings. You could be dragging and it doesn't matter how crappy you feel. You have one shot of a little cafecito, you are golden. Like, you're talking at 2x podcast speed. Some people tell me sometimes when they listen to the podcast on like double speed, they're like, we have to slow down when Jess talks because she's too fast when she's had cafecito.
I took Christian and two other guys when we were in Miami. I believe it was for some type of all-star event. I forgot what it was. Oh no, we were there for the Neymar event. I took them to a Rey de la Frita, which is the little Cuban burger joint, all the way out there. And I got a colada and I started giving everyone those little cups, and everyone, Christian's like, I don't drink coffee. The other two were like, yo, I just had coffee. And the other guy's like, I just drank an energy drink. So I said, you know what? I'll just sip it a little bit without thinking. I drank the whole cup by myself. I was in the Uber. Like, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. I mean, I've been drinking coffee since I was 6. That was too much. Could you imagine drinking that whole cup? I was dying.
There should like be a Surgeon General's warning on one of those things. Cause I think like unsuspecting tourists will buy it sometimes thinking it's just a little like double shot of espresso, but it is like 8,000 times the amount of caffeine as a double shot of espresso. Like, the fact that they just sell this to people without being like, hey, by the way, you're supposed to share this among 8 friends is a little dangerous, I think.
Jeez. Well, it'll be good for fandom in Miami, though, to have a couple cafecitos lying around.
Right. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your experience on Lebatar Show, especially when it comes to soccer, because I know there's obviously soccer fans and soccer, Chris Whittingham and Mike Ryan Ruiz. But it always, you know, soccer is really not a subject that comes up too often unless it's a very big story on a show like Lebatar Show. So when it comes to the being around it, getting it on the show, what are those conversations like? You know, because I know at the very least Inter Miami must come up. They're getting more popular, and the rumors of Lionel Messi possibly playing for Inter Miami one day, obviously you would hope that kind of excitement can get into and break into the show.
Yeah, it's fascinating because I feel like, I don't know if you guys have found this to be true, but I feel like everyone below a certain age now is like either a soccer fan or like best friends with a soccer fan. But then everyone above a certain age is still like, soccer, not that popular. And so it kind of is like a generational thing where like all the like younger guys on the show like always want to talk about the soccer news, and like Mike and Witty will try to always bring it back to Inter Miami or whatever like Premier League thing is going on, whatever, World Cup, Euros. And like Dan and Stugatz are like, they're like, no one cares about this. And like Mike and Witty are always like, this is the most popular sport in the world. So, like, last week we were talking about Messi. I can't even remember how much money his last contract at Barca was, but it's, like, 4 times what, like, an NFL contract would be for the same amount of time. Right. And he's like, yeah, like, best soccer player in the world, kind of expensive, right? Because that's how many people watch this and care about it. I just thought it was a funny comment because it's so true. Like, our little, like, tiny American sports fan brains can't, like, comprehend the fact that La Liga is huge and Messi is international star, not just popular in, you know, Kansas City or something like Pat Mahomes is.
Right. It's just shocking to Americans that, like, wait a minute, not everyone knows the Dolphins aren't good. No.
Right.
No, they don't. They could care less.
Yeah. So I don't know. I always try to talk about the U.S. women's national team when I can, too, because obviously they're like this amazing success story, except for obviously this year at the Olympics. They fell a little bit short, but it's very funny to me how different like the spheres of influence are dependent on like who you're talking about on the show. And it goes for other sports, too, because there's like a couple of people on the show who love baseball. And then there's like 3 guys on the show who are like, I haven't watched baseball since like 1997. So it kind of is funny how we all bring a different thing to the show.
I could care less about baseball.
I mean,
this point.
Alexis is Cuban. I'm Dominican. And baseball has now become this, like, you know, are my grandparents playing it? You know
right.
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm like so less interested in it just because the way it's even delivered to me. Like, what did you think of the Field of Dreams game? Like, I'm watching this and I'm like, this is not working. This is not working for me. What child is going to be like, there's a bunch of corn and baseball, and now I am hooked. I felt like it was a thing for old, nostalgia for old people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never seen the movie Field of Dreams. So I was watching it, and I was like, okay, like on the one hand, I think that it's a great thing for MLB to try. Like, it's a great example of how you can turn a game into an event, because I think sports needs more of that, because like everything is so mundane and kind of old and stale at times, especially with baseball, when every broadcast feels the same and there's 162 games in a season and only like five of them towards September matter. So I was glad that they tried that, because I think it's cool. Like, they're thinking outside the box. However, I also found the end, like the opening part with Kevin Costner and the fans coming or the players coming out of the corn. I was like, this is, no pun intended, this is so corny and contrived. And like, yeah. I just was rolling my eyes. I also have no attachment to this film, right? So I'm just watching and I'm like, who likes this? This is so like, oh my God. Come on, Kevin
Costner.
It's
just a bunch of 60-year-old dudes who watched it with their dads. That's the only people who care about this.
The movie was fine. It was a fine movie.
Wasn't it about a guy who played baseball with dead people in Iowa?
Is that what it's about? Is that what it's about? Like, I have no idea, honestly. Yeah. But like, so I get like, if you're a fan of that film, that was probably really cool to see. And like all your favorite players, if you're a Yankees fan or a White Sox fan, and it ended up being a great game too. Like, if like soccer did something like this, and they did like a bend it like Beckham game or something, I'd be like,
let's go.
Oh, I am about this. This is going to be awesome. This is my favorite movie when I was younger. I love this movie. It's the best. It's about women playing soccer and friendship and like defying cultural norms. But like, yeah, I just like it, like Field of Dreams doesn't do it for me.
You heard it. You heard it, MLS. Jess wants you to do an Air Buds game where each team has a dog.
Oh, my God. That would be amazing.
It would be kind of fun. I'm not going to lie to you. You
put
a puppy out there.
Put
a puppy out there in an Inter Miami kit. I mean,
you have to cut this out of the pod. You can't give this away for free. What are you doing?
No, I'm sprinkling it out there. Just give me a suite. Give me a flight to the game and a suite.
One thing I love about Bend It Like Beckham nowadays is when people put clips on Twitter, people now analyze the game, like the actual soccer part, as like, you know, like actual play by play. So the last kick where the angle of it going over the wall and watching the keeper try to save it, most people analyze and they're like, why was the keeper positioned like that? What a terrible.
Okay, but you also just gave me goosebumps describing that scene. I was like, oh, it's so good.
Agreed.
That's hilarious. You guys are like, well, technically the goalkeeper was in a bad place, and you're like, the movie put me in a good place, so who cares?
I mean, this is the same thing with Rudy, right? Like, people, I went to Notre Dame, and people are always being like, Rudy was offsides. It's like, no, like, just shut up. Like, it's a movie. Yeah. Like, just, that's not the point. Like, you're just missing the point. It's so annoying to me. I'm very triggered. I just triggered myself by bringing up Rudy. I don't know why.
You got yourself
that.
Angry now at this
I'm
hypothetical
pissed.
Person?
Who brought up Rudy? Oh, it was me. Damn it.
You actually went to Notre Dame, and you played soccer in Notre Dame, but you also played soccer in Clemson. I mean, Clemson is one of those schools where playing soccer there is like, you know, like you're a mini god. What was that like?
Well, I played club soccer, first of all, but all the varsity girls were on my team because they all like quit for some reason. So it was very intense. Like, we ran like 3-mile conditioning workouts like on a Wednesday. And I was like, I thought this was club soccer, but we were like really, really good. It was awesome. Yeah.
It's not nightclub soccer, you know?
Right. Exactly. That's true. That's a good point. At Clemson,
you have a bottle of vodka in your hand. You're like, I think I might have gotten this wrong.
At Clemson, like, every person there does an activity or plays a sport. And Notre Dame is like a little similar, with the one exception being that like 4 months out of the school year, it is uninhabitable terrain. Like, you cannot go outside without freezing your like toes falling off, basically. So Clemson's like much more amenable to outdoor activities than Notre Dame was. So Notre Dame club soccer was fun, but like November, December, January, February, March, April, sometimes May. Like, it was so cold there. And the other problem with Notre Dame sports, like intramural sports or club sports, people there like really care about getting good grades and studying and exams.
Ugh. Boo.
Yeah. Not us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, I walked into college like, who needs clean pee? That's what I'm here for. Let's make some money.
were there any players that you played with that ended up going, you know, maybe playing professionally or playing overseas? Anybody that
that's a good question, we may know or
may not know?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head, to be honest, but, you know, I also have a terrible long-term memory. Like, I can't remember anything that happened before March 2020 at this point. Let's be
Sounds
honest.
Like a real Cubs fan. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, yeah, you said your former MLB team. Is there any particular reason? Was it that loss against the Marlins that changed it for you?
Well, once the Marlins sent me all of those goodies, I had to really decide, like, am I going to be a Marlins fan after, you know, they've done this like amazing, welcoming, accommodating thing for me? Or am I going to stick with the Cubs, who frankly have never sent me shit? So the ball's
you heard
in your
it here
court,
for
Chicago
first
Cubs.
Cubs. Let's go. I saw you posted a picture with that weird, I don't know, what is it, a statue that like the dolphin jumps around every time the Marlins score a home run? I thought that thing was like hated by everybody. You seem to be really happy to be in front of that thing.
Oh my God. Okay, it's the home run sculpture. So it used to be in Marlins Park when they opened the park. And a lot of people were like, this is tacky. Like there was a dolphin that would jump out and like lights would go up when there was a home run. And so when Derek Jeter bought the team, he like the first, one of the first things he did other than like, you know, trade Giancarlo Stanton and Christian Yelich, I guess, was remove the home run statue and or sculpture. And the artist who made it lives in New York City. I believe he's like a relatively well-known artist. And so it was a whole thing. It was like kind of offensive. Like, why would you move this beautiful piece of art? It's not tacky. Like, this is so Miami. It's colorful. It's bright. It's a little weird. It's funky. But then they ended up putting it, they like reconstructed it outside the stadium. So now, stadium. I don't know. It's an indoor stadium. I think indoor stadiums are so weird for baseball. We could talk about that later. But anyway, so it's right outside. So you walk in and you see it and it's very pretty. So I took a picture in front of it. I love it. It is, to me, the top tier of art, American art. It's beautiful.
It's very Miami. It's loud. It's very colorful. And it looks like it's talking with its hands.
And yes. And it's like polarizing. It's like some people hate it. Some people love it. Like it just is Miami. You're exactly right.
Yeah. You just need the statue to sell you Coke. And then it's officially the most Miami statue of all time.
The statue's like, hey, I got a table at Live Tonight. Yeah. That is Miami.
Yeah, like, exactly. I got a table at Live, bro. And you're like, did the statue just bro me?
I got bottles at Story.
Yeah. I know a guy at Versailles. If you need to get it.
Let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned the U.S. Women's National Team a little bit. We are obviously stands of pretty much anybody that goes through that team. It's an interesting thing because the U.S. Women's National Team is, I think it's inarguable at this point where it is the most popular soccer team we have in the United States, without a doubt. I mean, that is clear. Yeah. But the anybody who plays on that team is like almost knighted and becomes not only like a hero, but everybody wants to know everything about them. People, it's like a comic book movie where they're like, I'm Midge Purse and I'm Courtney Lloyd or
I'm
whatever.
I'm more, you know, of a Rapino. Like, you know,
they just attach themselves. What are those early memories of why you started connecting with the U.S. Women's National Team or favorite players and things like that?
Well, yeah. So I started playing soccer when I was super young, like 3 years old, like as early as I can remember. And so it was right around the time that they won the first World Cup with Mia Hamm and like the, you know, historic World Cup. So Mia Hamm was like my favorite player. I just thought she was so cool. And it was so cool to have, like, as you know, cliche as it sounds, like a female sports role model, because like there weren't a lot, to be honest. Mm-hmm. In terms of professional sports at the time, too, like all you had were the major four American sports, and then like college football was all I watched. So it was cool to be able to turn on TV and see them make this run. And Mia Hamm was awesome. One of my friends on my soccer team, like my teammate, she had like a Mia Hamm cardboard cutout in her basement. And I always thought that was so cool. I was like, I want that. But like, why? Like, what does that do? Like, what is that? Who is that for? I don't know why. Like, what is the purpose of a cardboard cutout of an athlete? I don't know. But I was, for some reason, as like a 6-year-old, I was like, that, like, my parents don't love me until they buy me that. And obviously they didn't, because they don't love me. Yeah.
Growing up, I only ever saw those at liquor stores. So when I saw a kid who had one, I'm like, did you rob a liquor store? How did you get a cardboard cutout of a player? Speaking of the women's national team, obviously Carly Lloyd, a legend. She just announced her retirement from international soccer. I'm from the women's national team. I guess, what are your initial thoughts on that?
My initial thoughts? Well, I kind of expected it. I think a lot of people expected that she would retire soon. I'm bummed that I won't get to see her play internationally. I think she said she'd play a few more games with Gotham FC this year. But I don't know. I was just thinking about like some of my favorite Carly Lloyd moments. I think it was the 2015 World Cup where she had the hat trick. And there was the one goal where she like chipped it. You guys know what I'm talking about?
From half the pitch. Yeah. It was insane.
Yeah, that was insane. So, yeah, that I will definitely miss that. But she, like you said, she's a legend. She's probably like top five U.S. women national team player of all time in terms of scoring. I don't know specifically her like scoring stats because I'm not an encyclopedia. I wish I was sometimes. But I am always so jealous of people who just like pull sports stats like out of their butt. Like, I don't like that's not me. But anyways.
I could never do that.
They're, you know what? They're nerds that intimidate me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Same people who can't remember their significant other's birthday, but they're like, I think Jeter hit 300. You're like, how do you know that? Why do you know that?
I just we had one question from a fan before we wrap up. I just wanted to get this. This is from Gully Squad. This is our supporters group. These are the fans that love the Cooligans so much, and they have an opportunity to toss questions to our guests. And Douglas Reyes Cerrone, he's a DC United fan. Great, great dude. He asked a question. He said, what are your plans for your first Inter-Miami match when you inevitably go? What's the move?
That's a great question. Well, I think my move whenever I go to a new sporting event or stadium, I judge it completely based off the food choices. So like last Friday I was at the Marlins game and they gave me a bunch of food. I was like, okay, like, am I allowed to swear on this show? I won't, just in case.
Go for it.
I was gonna say I can fuck with this. This is good stuff. Like they gave me like I had plantains, like it was good. Nachos.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. Like they had like, you know, like shredded pork and rice and like plantains, like at a ballpark. I was like at Wrigley Field, they're like they slap you in the face with a hot dog and say, like, go have fun. Like they don't give you much of anything there.
And that's outside the stadium.
Right. they dump an old style on your head. And they're like, welcome to Wrigley. Like the food options there are not like elevated as far as I
don't touch the ivy. You know?
It's poisonous. Yeah. So yeah, I'll probably go. I'll probably like check out all the different food, eat it all at my seat. And then, you know, like my coworker, Chris Whittingham, I think is the voice of Inter-Miami's radio coverage. So maybe I'll like hop on the radio, listen to him do the call from my seat. That would be kind of fun.
That's amazing.
There you go.
I
don't know. You got
I love
friends
how you said,
in
I think,
all places.
I think he's the voice, and he's 100% the voice.
Yeah.
He works for Inter Miami. He is there.
You're like, it's a friend of mine. I don't know what he does, but apparently he's in a radio booth out there. So
I mean, he could just be like lying and like pretending he does it. He actually does it. Like,
who knows,
that would be crazy,
you know?
If he faked it. Fake it till you make
this it. Grant Wall's co-host is some imposter.
Yes.
Who knows who that could be?
I don't trust them. That's all I know. You interrupt the radio broadcast and be like, hey, what are you doing? What is this? Who are you talking to?
Jess, thank you so much for joining us. We have a couple of pieces of business before we wrap up. We have to get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our show. We will turn it into a gift that will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario. Alexis, what do you suggest?
Okay, you and everyone else at Metal Lark Media decide that they're going to put on a friendly soccer game. And it's up to you. And someone tells you that if you score this next goal, all the people jumping into your DMs trying to mansplain sports to you, even though you've been in sports your whole life, will magically disappear. They will just be gone. And you, just like Ben and like Beckham, go around. The keeper was in the wrong position. You curl it around the wall and you score. That means no more mansplaining on social media for you. How do you celebrate?
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like a dab and then I'm going to go in the bag. It's like you're holding a bag and you like punch it.
Yeah, you do look like you're punching a pet you're holding, though. I'm not gonna lie.
Incredible. It's a great combo. Boom. I love it.
At the same time, you dab into the bag.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for joining us. Let us, a reminder, everybody go follow Jess, listen to her on Levitard Show. Is there anything else you want to plug before we wrap up?
No, my Levitard Show with Stu Gatz. We're on Apple, Spotify. We stream on YouTube once a week. And you can follow me on social media, Jessica Smetana, Smetana. My last name means sour cream in Czech.
Okay. Nice.
And make sure everybody follow at Soccer Cooligans on all social platforms. Also, follow at Fubo Sports and subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for more clips of the show. All right, Jess, let's end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So for Jess Smetana, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!